Shabbat Shalom to everyone. My name is Dara Avisha Abel Melissa Hawkins. And I like to say that the priest is starting very soon.
It's now food.
It's now time for by finding the seats for Sabbath services.
May I have your attention, please? Shabbat Shalom, everyone. My name is Daughter of Yisrael Abel Zalia Hawkins, and I want to serve you forever as a priest starting very soon. It's now our privilege and honor to present to you the sons and daughters of Yisrael Abel now entering to the sanctuary. It's a privilege and honor to turn it over to one of the daughters of Yisrael Abel, Yolod Hawkins. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. I am a daughter of Yisrael Abel, Yolod Hawkins, and I'd like to serve you as a priestess starting very soon. Welcome to the woman's presentation. This morning, our theme is The Test and Trials Yahweh Never Promised Us a Rose Garden. This is saying that yes, we will be persecuted and will have tests and trials, but we can't think about the negative side. Instead, think about the positive things, and we have to rejoice at all times. This theme today reminds me of two scriptures, which are 1 Corinthians 12, verse 9 through 10, and Romans 5, verse 3 through 5. Please read this on your own time. So please get your pens and papers ready to take notes and listen attentively. And it's now a privilege and honor to turn it over to our first speaker, daughter of Yisrael Abel, Aaliyah Hawkins.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. My title is Rejoice Through the Test and Trials. Rejoicing in our tests and trials may be hard, but it is possible. Turn over to Jacob 1, verse 2 through 3. It's found on page 953. And it says, "My brothers, count it all joy when you fall in various temptations, trials, knowing that the testing of your faith develops endurance. When you rejoice through your tests and trials, it proves to Yahweh that you love His way enough to give up all this world for Him." The apostles kept warning that the trials and tests are coming, and they told us to rejoice through them. Turn over to Luke 22, verse 28. It's on page 809. It says, "Now you are those who stood by me in my trials." In the third book of Yisrael, chapter 18, verse 112, says, "So praise Yahweh for these trials you are having. At the same time, learn from them and increase to where you won't be making the same mistakes over and over, and this joy may be full." As you see, Pastor told us to rejoice through our tests and trials and learn from them. When we rejoice through our tests and trials, we are showing Yahweh that we want to be a part of His kingdom. Tests and trials are not a curse. They are to show us what we need to work on more, and we should rejoice through them. Yeshua was even tested in all points as we are today. Rejoice when you are being tested, and when it's over, you will see how far you have came. Many will be tested. Turn over to Daniel 12, verse 10. It's on page 684. It says, "Many will be purified and made white and tried, tested, but the wicked will do wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but the wise will understand." In the third book of Yisrael, chapter 18, verse 100, says, "Take these trials. They are very precious to you. They are building you up. They are beginning you with a spirit that is much more precious than fine gold." So remember to rejoice through your tests and trials. Yahweh never said it was easy, but rejoice. And if you all please stand, I'll turn it over to daughter of Yisrael Abel tonight.
Shabbat Shalom. You may be seated. Today's topic is tests and trials. It is a true fact that we all have tests and trials in our lives. Yahweh needs to prove us worthy for his kingdom. For example, if I want to apply for a job as a baker, I would have to prove to the bakery owner that I can bake. So in the same way, if we want to be in Yahweh's kingdom, we have to prove to Yahweh that we can be righteous. May I please have my first slide? So the title I chose for my speech is, You Are Worth More Than Many Sparrows. We don't usually forget about our tests or the things we find hard. They are with us every day. But sometimes in those tests, we can forget that we are worth more than many sparrows and that Yahweh cares for us. It's important to remember this because it will help us get through our hard tests. If you would turn over with me to Matthew 10, verse 31. And it says, Therefore, do not be afraid, for you are worth more than many sparrows. And Matthew 6, verse 26. And Yeshua is telling us, he says, Behold, the birds of the air, for they do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into storehouses, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? I am 8 years old. I have seen many birds on Yahweh's feast grounds. I have seen blue jays, purple martins, woodpeckers, robins, doves, pigeons, owls, turkey vultures, hummingbirds, cardinals, blackbirds, a family of quail, roadrunners, mockingbirds, and more. When I see the birds, they are always joyful and taken care of. They have trees to build nests, air to breathe, food to nourish them, and more. Now I'm sure birds have tests and trials too. They have predators, have to survive the elements, the cold, heat, find their own food, and protect their young. So we used to have a hummingbird feeder, and we had ones that would come around and we would give them names. One we had named Ruby, and one time he came and there was nothing in it. So he looked in our window as if to say, Remember me? Where is my food? So we went and filled it back up, and then he came and got some and then went back, looked back in our window to say thank you. Don't you think he was asking for what he needed? We can ask Yahweh for what we need too when things seem just too hard. We should remember that we are more valuable to Yahweh than the sparrows and that he will never forget us. May I please have my second slide? We could feel like we are knocked down and it's too hard, or we can imagine that we are flying. It's all in how we look at it. So instead of feeling sad, let's remember the sparrows and say, it's just a trial, I should smile. And with that, I turn it over to the next speaker.
And now I'd like to turn it over to Judge Tanner.
Shalom, you may be seated. Welcome to our program today. The first thing I wanted to let you know is about a Google search. And somebody typed in, who is the preacher using Yahweh's name in the United States of America? And guess where Google took them? Yes, Israel Hawkins, Yahweh.com. Your work is not in vain. Our work is not in vain. Yahweh is going, he's getting us out to everyone. Now, the theme for our speeches today is Yahweh never promised us a rose garden. So, just in case you didn't know. But testings and trials as we strive to qualify for his kingdom. Now, I want you to remember as you hear our speakers today that Yahweh always presented mankind with choices from the very beginning. From the very beginning, he set two trees in a garden. One tree was for salvation, and the other tree was for a test. I want you to keep this in mind as you listen to the speeches today. One tree was for salvation, and the other tree was for a test. Now, the apostles and the prophets, they all had to face tests and trials in order to prove themselves worthy for the kingdom. Now, we're going to be first. Remember, the last will be first. So do you think that our trials are going to be small? Do you think our tests are going to be minute? We have to remember this as we're being tested because we're qualifying with every choice that we make. Our choices determine our future. And the future right now, we are very close to when Yahweh is making his final selection for his kingdom. So it doesn't matter how Yahweh chooses to bring your test or who he uses to bring it. We have to pass the test as Yahweh determines so that we can choose our future. How many of you want your future to be the kingdom of Yahweh? Great. Because in Deuteronomy 30, 15 through 19, it says, "See, I have set before you this day life and righteousness, death and destruction, in that I command you this day to love Yahweh your Father by walking in all his ways, keeping his commandments, statutes, and judgments, so that you may live." So that you may live. But if your heart turns away and you're not obedient during your testings and trials, Yahweh says, and you are drawn away to submit to gods by serving them, Yahweh says, I call heaven and earth as witness against you that you did not stand firm in your time of testing. Be on guard. Three out of four choose the wide way. The road, and you've got to picture this road. This road is a real road. And, you know, sisters, there's exit ramps and there's entrance ramps when you're driving down a highway, right? So if you get on that wrong road, it's okay. You can get back on the right road through repentance and conversion, right? So even if you have found yourself on that wrong road, you can get back on the right road. Now, our speakers today are going to be talking about the tests and trials. They're going to be telling us the importance. I wanted to get one scripture in because with these two trees, I want you to remember how crafty Satan is. And when we go through these tests and trials, you have to remember that she has had thousands of years to practice what she does. You know, you've only had a couple of years in the house of Yahweh to start perfecting your faith. Now, I'm going to give you an example of how crafty she is, because Eve, in all Eve's teaching that she had from Abel, Cain, that first pope, was able to get them out of the house of Yahweh. She was able to actually drag Adam and Eve out of the house of Yahweh. So, you know, you got to remember this enemy. And we're going to see how pointed this is. In Genesis 4:25, before we start our speaking portion, I have to get this in. Genesis 4:25, and it said, Adam knew his wife again. Now, this is after they had been pulled out. Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. For she said, Yahweh has appointed another seed for me to take the place of Abel, whom Cain killed. And as for Seth, to him also a son was born, and he named him Enosh. It was then that the name of Yahweh began to be invoked again. Now I want you to see, we're in the very beginning of Genesis, and Satan was so clever that she had already wiped out Yahweh's name. She's a very worthy opponent that we cannot take lightly. And no, she's not the sister or the brother that Yahweh may sometimes use for your testing and trials. For your testing and trials. She's sneaky, she's bold, and she knows her stuff. Remember, Yahweh has a plan and he's in full control. Our purpose today in these speeches is to encourage you to understand why Yahweh has to test and try us and what these tests and trials will bring forth in you. So without further delay, I'd like for you to stand and welcome our first speaker to the podium. Praise Yahweh.
Shalom, righteous saints of Yahweh, you may be seated. Today I will be talking about something that we deal with on a daily basis. My title is Enduring Righteously Through Our Tests and Trials Brings Us to Perfection. Please turn with me to Jacob 1, 2 through 4. In Jacob 1, 2 through 4, it says, "My sisters, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, trials, knowing that the testing of your faith develops endurance, and let endurance have its perfect work, that you may become perfect and complete, lacking nothing." From the American Dictionary of the English Language by Noah's Webster's, 1828, the definition of trial is an experience, suffering that puts strength, patience, or faith to the test. Affliction or temptation that exercises and proves the virtue of men or women. In the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program, the character unit, on page 85, it talks about curveballs and pitfalls, which we also know as tests and trials. Curveballs and pitfalls are unexpected situations that can test your resolve. To maintain a positive character, they come up when you least expect them and can catch you off guard. In our daily lives, we have to deal with chores and work, money and bills, and budgeting, and how to make it all work together. All of this can lead to frustrations and aggravations, having needs and wants, and having to decide what is a priority. These things can put stress upon us and affect how we conduct ourselves. It can also have a ripple effect and show in how you act towards your friends and family. You can also have stress at work with a coworker or your boss, or with your children or with your spouse. Tests and trials come from anywhere, anytime. The last 2 weeks, my tests and trial has been that our well keeps breaking down, and it's really hard to do the dishes and wash the laundry with no water. Please turn with me to 1 Kefa 4:12. It says, "Beloved, do not be amazed concerning the fiery trial which you must undergo in order to be tested as though some alien thing were befalling you." Expect the tests. Expect the trials. It is for your perfection. In Matthias 6:34, it reads, "Therefore, do not anxiously worry about what tomorrow may hold, for tomorrow may have worries of its own. Each day has enough of its own trouble." Expect the test and be ready for them. On page 80 of the Peaceful Solution Character Unit, it speaks about setting your mind in advance. To not be influenced, to do anything that will compromise your character. Our tests and trials will either make you or break you, sisters. In Matthew 10:22, it says, "You will be hated above all men for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved." In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, "There is no temptation take hold of you except what is common to man, and Yahweh is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Remember to count it all joy when you fall into various temptations, trials. Be ready for it. Set your mind in advance, knowing that all the testing of your faith develops endurance, and endurance will bring you to perfection." And now with that, I turn it over to the next daughter of Yahweh, Barakiah.
Hello, everyone. You may be seated. I'm going to be talking about our tests and trials, and I'm going to be covering how we can behave and act towards others, even if they're the ones that is hurting us, like the great head judge Tana was saying. If they're the ones that is saying something that hurts us, it's our test and trial to see if we are going to overcome and, or if we're going to show disrespect to them. So if I'm going to read from the fifth book of Yishol, chapter 2, verse 46. And overseer says, Yada 4, "For there are certain men," this is to show you what he is talking about, "for there are certain men who have crept in, who were before," notice, "before of old, before they were born, ordained for this condemnation, men crept in for your tests and trials, so that Yahweh would actually judge you and determine whether you are ready to make the right decision. So he's using our sisters, the people that we work with and we live with, so he can see if we're going to practice what we have been taught and so we can overcome. If you can turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. It's Philippians 1, verse 6. And it's found on page 921. It says, being confident of this very thing, that he has begun a righteous work in you, and you will continue to bring forth it to perfection until the coming of Yeshua Messiah. And he has taught us to overcome and to be respectful to others, no matter how they treat us, and to always be humble, no matter what the situation is, so that we can help others to achieve that goal, to becoming Yahweh's kingdom. And if we allow ourselves to become angry and build up hatred inside of us towards the person that we have a problem with, then it's not going to solve the problem, and we're only going to build more hatred and war. Like the peaceful solution says, violence only brings more violence. So if you have a situation and you allow, if you say, okay, I'm not going to let it bother me, I'm going to set my mind in advance to overcome this problem and to still be respectful, then the violence will eventually stop, and then we will see the peace that we are looking for, and we will make it into Yahweh's kingdom. I'm going to read in the fourth book of Ezekiel, chapter 19, verse 67. It says, you have to see how the Christians can turn against you. Here in the last few weeks, you have seen the hatred build in there, almost like it was formed overnight. You've seen how they can twist your words on TV and tell the world to make the world hate you. But now, brethren, this is going to get worse. Yahweh promises that. Yahweh also says that you are going through severe tests because Yahweh is going to prove this tree. He's going to prune this tree. This tree is going to become very strong before Yeshua comes. In fact, you are going to lead the kingdom in. Yahweh is going to be there with you, and we're going to lead in. So if we are humble and we, instead of being violent and lashing back in our words to others, if we go to our counselors and say, okay, well, look, here's the problem. How do I solve it? Then we will get the advice that we need, and Yahweh will be on our side if we obey the instructions that the priests have told us to do. And always remember that Yahweh is in full control. And no matter how we are treated or what is done to us, that without the person that is making you feel this pain inside, that without them, we would not make it. And that we have to be there for each other. And if there's something being done to you, it's because there's something in you that you have to overcome. So we have to go through the test so that we can make it into Yahweh's kingdom. And with that, I'll turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 15. That's Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. It's found on page 173. It says, see, I have set before you this day life by righteousness and death by destruction, and that I command you in this day that to love and by keeping his laws, his statutes, and his judgments, so that you may live and multiply, and so Yahweh your Father may bless you in the land which you go in to possess. So if we keep his laws and his statutes and his judgments, we will receive the blessing that he has promised us, and we will make it into his kingdom, and he will be here on our side throughout all eternity. And with that, I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Shalom, everyone. You may be seated. It's great to see the great righteous daughters of Yahweh. Let us rejoice, for Yahweh has set up a house as a light in these last days. We have a house established in these last days, guided by the one last witness, bringing forth the light, the laws, foretold in prophecy, proven in Scripture. Last week, we were given a blessing, a treasure, some golden oil that was offered to anyone that wanted it over on the table. It was two of the overseer's blogs. I went and got mine, and I started reading the one that says, "The Great Holy Unrighteous Alliance. These 10 will make war with the Lamb and bring the great burning." As I got over to page 32, 34 pages Pastor gave us. Isn't that amazing? How much does he love us? Well, on page 32, I started reading, and it says, "The Orthodox Church has declared its unity during June 20th to 26th Pan-Orthodox Council." And I started reading about it, but then I kept going back to that date, and I said, what is it with that date? Something is up with that date. So I said, I know I read it, and I read it right back on page 19. And on page 19, it says, "The First Council of Nicaea and the Missing Records." About 4 years prior to chairing the council, Constantine had been initiated into the religious order of Sol Invictus, one of the two thriving cults that regarded the sun as the one and only supreme god, and the other was Mithraism. Because of his sun worship, he instructed Eusebius to convene the first of the three settings on the summer solstice, June 21st. So I turned back and read again. "The Orthodox Church declared its unity on June 20th to 26th during the summer solstice." So you see, the Vatican, that divining serpent, has not changed. She has set her date to convene to bring their unity the same time that Constantine, in honor of the sun god. There is nothing new under the sun. I looked up 621 in the Strong's in Hebrew, and it says Aseneth, belongs to Ner. Ner is the Egyptian goddess of wisdom, which comes from Neth, meaning mischief, evil, and harm. Neth means divine mother. Divine, divining serpent, the same as in these last days. There is one that is opposing the house of Yahweh, but the house of Yahweh is the house of light. The house of Yahweh is the only one who is bringing forth the light in these last days. She is identified as the great mother goddess in the role as creator. Does that bring your mind back to Isaiah 14:13? "I will lift myself up above the Most High"? This is the sun god worship. It isn't the sun they are worshiping here. It's Satan herself they are worshiping. And we must always remember that Vatican is that divining serpent that does the evil like the gods. And that's what's being exposed by the house of Yahweh. In Genesis 49, verse 6, we are told, "Let me not enter their council. Let my glory not be joined to their assemblies." We cannot join in their way, not one iota. When we are given the instructions in the house of Yahweh, we honor and glorify Yahweh by keeping them to the best of our ability, by doing the instructions to the best of our ability. Psalm 19. When you read Psalm 19 or hear Psalm 19, what comes to your mind? Is it the laws of Yahweh are perfect, converting the whole person? The testimony is sure, making the simple ones wise? The statutes of Yahweh are right? Well, I read this psalm the other day, and I started at verse 1. It says, "Heaven's messengers proclaim the glory of Yahweh." And I said, I know it was just a little while ago that the overseer taught us what that meant. And so I went and on Israel Hawkins says, and it took us back to 4, 5 of 14. It's in the first 14th book of Israel, part 1, chapter 7, verse 101. And it says, Revelation 18:1, "Remember, and after these things I saw a mallet come down from heaven." He says, and that is written wrong. "I saw another messenger." You could separate it. If you could separate it, you would have to separate it to where you'd see it. "I saw another messenger," period. That's the end. Put a period after that. I saw another messenger, and then you can understand the rest of it. And after these things, I saw another messenger stop and coming down from heaven, having great authority from heaven. So coming down from Yahweh out of heaven was the authority that was given to this messenger. I saw a messenger, and coming from Yahweh in heaven was the authority that Yahweh gave to this messenger. Now we all know that prophecy was foretold that there would be two witnesses in these last days, and that is the messengers that Yahweh is speaking of in Psalm 19. The messengers that he had given authority to bring forth the message of Yahweh. So it says here, heaven's messengers proclaim the glory of Yahweh. And in verse 4, their witness goes out throughout all the earth, and their story to the end of the world. In them he has set up a house for the light. In those two witnesses, foretold in prophecy, proven in the scriptures, he has set up a house for the light. Let us never forget that there is only two ways on this earth. Either you're going to go Yahweh's way, or you're going the other way. Satan has deceived the whole world. There is no in between. There is no you can call on Yahweh and keep only part of his laws. You must serve Yahweh in the way that he asks us to serve him. And in doing so, you will bring great honor and glory to him. A little while ago, the overseer talked about the word stance. And he said, where do we take our stance? Stance is where you stand in either for or against, in opposition or to build. So I want you to remember Exodus chapter 17 when they were waging war against the Amalekites, and Moshe was praying and his arms were getting heavy. And so Aaron and Hur came and each held up Moshe's arms. Sisters, are we taking our stance to hold up the overseer's arms by doing everything he says for us to do? No matter how hard it is, no matter the tests and the trials, are we taking our stance to build the house of Yahweh, to support everything, the one that has been used to set up the light, the house for the light in these last days, spoken of in prophecy, proven in scripture? May we all take our stance and show Yahweh that we will forever stay in the house of Yahweh and support our anointed one in everything he tells us to do. So let us stand at this time as the one body in unity with the faith through our high priest Yeshua, guided by our one sent in these last days, prophecy foretold, proven in scripture. Now I present to you one who has taken her stance to build the holy house of Yahweh, Deaconess Yermiah.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You may be seated. The title of my speech is Yahweh Has Called Us to Be Tested and Proven. And you know, great head Judge Tana just said there was some Google searching going on. And if you try to go on the Israel Says program and you type Yahweh promised us a rose garden, it says zero results found. But there's a reason, because we were never promised that. Okay, but we were promised to get tested and tried. But we were also promised that if we endured, we were promised an eternal position in Yahweh's kingdom, great sisters. And I want to start with Exodus 20:20, if you would turn there with me on page 61. And it says, Moshe said to the people, "Do not fear, for Yahweh has come to test and prove you, so that the reverence for Yahweh will be with you, so that you do not commit sin." And then the side note says, "Whether you will obey Yahweh's laws as you promised." Okay, so Yahweh called us, and we accepted the invitation, and we made a vow, right? So he's testing and proving us. He wants to know, did we mean it? Are we serious? Are we committed? And how can he do that? Only, you know, unless he tries us. Okay? Right before Feast of Tabernacles last year in 2015, I was diagnosed with a tumor. And the pain was very real. The physical pain was very real. And again, I went to the doctor to see what was going on. But they know, you know, I call the house of Yahweh. And so whether they're saying this, they're saying that, what do I do? Well, I called and I said, you know, well, this is what they're telling me. And so the doctors, of course, immediately, you know, we'll do a biopsy, we'll get you on, you know, and they were ready to heal you. I said, well, I know who can heal me if it's his will, right? And I trusted in that. I believed in that, okay? And my test is not your test, okay? We're all going through our own tests, but we can be assured of one thing, and that is that we're all being tested because we're all trying to qualify for a position in Yahweh's great kingdom, which is no little thing, okay? The character, in chapter 4 of the character unit, it says, striving for the best won't always be easy, but it will be worth it. So, great sisters, I cannot think of a better position or a better, a better position to strive for. The best position there is to strive for is an eternal position in Yahweh's great kingdom. And if we, you know, Yahweh is telling us it's not going to be easy, but we can do this. You know, otherwise he wouldn't have promised that. You know, if you would please turn to page 424 in Job 23:10. You know, again, it seems like this mountain, you know, that is impossible to climb when we're going through our tests. Okay, but again, we need to believe, truly believe that Yahweh is in full control and that he would not allow us to go through something that we cannot bear. He's not going to put more on us than we can bear. And we need to trust and believe in that, great sisters. So Job 23:10 says, but he knows the way that I take. He knows. And when he has finished trying me, I will come forth as gold. That means my imperfections will have been ironed out once he's finished trying me. So if I want to belong, be part of that priestly family in that eternal position, then I must endure and rejoice in these trials and realize that what I'm going through is not forever. Okay, I'm just proving to Father Yahweh that I love him above all, that I love his house, that I will stand in my place, and that I will endure because I desire it. Okay? Pastor came up with a number. He said, you know, look at this number. And it was 60-20. Okay? Greg Cohan last week brought that number out and said it came from the word 1383 in the Greek, meaning trial and testing. Well, again, you know, we're promised these trials. We're promised these tests. And we're told if we are applying for something, if we want something that is valuable, then, you know, it's going to cost us sacrifice, commitment, diligence. Right? We're going to have to be steadfast. We're going to have to be determined to stay positive and optimistic. You know, all those 21 positive character traits in the peaceful solution, right? We're given the tools. Our Father is so merciful that he says, I'm going to test you, but here are the tools so that you may pass these tests. That's how merciful and kind he is. Great sisters, you know, I wanna encourage you to remember these things that we're promised, because I know that during these trials, it does seem like, well, I'm the only one being tested. You know, these people don't understand what I'm going through. Because again, it's my test, and it seems like I'm about to go up this huge mountain. Okay? But we're all being tested. And Father Yahweh says, it's okay. You're proving to me that you want my kingdom. So go forth, right? And he gives us everything. He gives us this great administration, great sisters. He gives us our great counselors that are a phone call away. They keep us encouraged. They keep us motivated. They keep us inspired. That remind us, okay, yes, you're here to be tested and proven, okay, because you're qualifying for a great position, an eternal position, okay, and it's important that we don't forget that, okay. In 2 Timothy 4:7 and 8, and that's on page 939, it's one of my most loved scriptures because of, you know, the Apostle Shaul constantly encouraged, right, and motivated and inspired. And that's Shaul's farewell address. He says, I have fought a righteous fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. From here on, there is stored up for me a crown of righteousness, which Yeshua, the righteous judge, will give me at that day. And not me only, but also to all those who love his appearing. Great sisters, again, may our words always to one another be to motivate, to inspire. Okay, we're very close to that finish line. Okay, let's do this because we can. Yahweh says we can. Okay. Yahweh bless you. And with that, I turn it over to Great Deaconess Atalia.
Shabbat shalom, great saints of Yahweh. You all may be seated. Such words of encouragement as I sat there listening. I know that Yahweh has truly blessed this family, because all the words of encouragement just come to give us more and more that we want to go on so that we can fight that righteous battle that is set before us. Since today, the title of my speech is Tests and Trials. How we perceive them will determine our success. So I want you to think as you go through your test and trial day after day. What Yahweh has said before us, he set us a main pattern. And if you could only imagine that when we go through test and trial, he also set a pattern how to go through them. If you learn that pattern, you will always be successful. Today, I would like you to turn your focus upon the two persons that Yahweh has set before us as our perfect and righteous examples, how to live our daily lives, how to succeed, how to win the battle. And those two persons are no other than our great high priest, Yeshua Messiah, and our great overseer, Yisrael Abel Harkins. Yahweh has set one to the right hand and one to the left hand. And the reason he set them there, because he knows they have the power and strength to bring his laws to perfection. They both have the power and strength to bring his glory and honor to his great name. I want to remind you of an image we saw last week. And this is the image that we saw, just to remember this. The image of our great overseer, hands uplifted. And that image has a lot of significance. It represents his power, his strength, his honor, and great glory. Sisters, we know that that image of our great overseer was taken when the seventh Malach, the mighty trumpeter of Yahweh, he stand before the audience, the great congregation of the house of Yahweh, on September 9, 2006. and he lift up his right hand and his left hand, and he loosed the four winds of war, allowing to go forth those who will, you know, determine to destroy the earth, to release the nuclear war. But I want you to consider, since we know that our great Father Yahweh, the creator of the universe, is not in the business of making and creating war, what else did the seven Malach release upon the earth? Ponder that thought. Yahweh had allowed his seven Malach to receive his power, his strength, his honor and glory to flow throughout the entire earth. And the main purpose of doing that is to make it possible for you, the great saints of Yahweh, to be able to stand up firm foundation. That's the rock in which we stand, to be able to handle the nuclear war that is soon coming. I kind of rejoiced in my spirit when I heard the great Kohana mention, because I had that down for my first scripture, where she mentioned Moshe's hands had to be lifted up. So let's turn to it and read it very quickly. That could be found in Exodus chapter 17, we're going to read verse 8 through 13. It says, then the Amalekite came and fought with Israel at Rahephrathim. And Moshe said to Yeshua, choose out some men and go out to fight the Amalekite. Tomorrow I will stand at the top of the hill with the staff of Yahweh in my hand. So Yeshua did as Moshe had said to him and fought with the Amalekite. Then Moshe and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And as long as Moshe held up his hands, Israel was winning. But whenever he lowered his hand, the Amalekite was winning. Moshe's hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur then supported his right hand and his left hand on the other side, and his hand was steady until the going down of the sun. So Yahweh defeated the Amalekite and his people by the edge of the sword. I want you to pay attention to the side note G4. This shows and to remind how dangerous it is to be slackened in our prayer. So sisters, moving on, I said to you before that Yahweh also gave us Yeshua. So let us look at the examples of Yeshua when he went through his trial and testing. Going on to Philippians 2, and we can read verse 5. Let this mind be in you also that it was in Yeshua, whom being in the form of Yahweh, did not think it something to seize upon himself to be equal with Yahweh, but abased himself, taking on the form of a servant, being like a man being born. And being formed in fashion, appearance, and in conduct, like a man, he humbled himself in obedience, even unto the death. I will stop here. So we see Yeshua's example when he went through his tests and trials. Sisters, we don't have to be afraid, because Yahweh set us many, many examples. I heard one of my sisters before was sharing that when we go through tests and trials, we can see it equal to what is written in the Peaceful Solution Character Unit, page 85 of Tests and Trials. And sometimes I think of it when I was pondering it. I saw for tests, you had like if you had a curve ball. And for the pitfalls, you have like if you had like a puddle. But sometimes it can become even more severe. The curve ball can hit you right behind your head where you didn't expect it. And the pitfalls, instead of it being a puddle, sometimes when a test and trial gets so severe, you will feel like if your foundation has been removed from you. But do not be afraid. In moving on, Yahweh has given us many wonderful examples that we can look upon to strengthen us in our confidence. We know the nuclear blaze is soon to come. I want you to think back on those who went through the fire. And as they went through the fire, remember people like Noah went through the fire and went through the flood. Noah he went through a great flood. And Yahweh used the ark to help him through that flood. And then we had Moshe. Yahweh opened and parted the Red Sea and helped him through that. Then we had, what about Yana? I always think that story very beautiful. A fish being placed so Yana can escape. Yahweh turned the fish into a deep water submarine and took Yana all the way to the other side. For the fiery trials, I can think of Lot. When fire and brimstone came down, I can also think of the sons when they went in, was placed in the fiery temple, the fiery furnace. Yahweh took them through that. And I want to say, we too will be going through that test. And Yahweh is able to take us through. In closing, I want to leave you a word of encouragement. Let it be a word of endurance. Yahweh allowed me to write a little poem just to, you know, strengthen you as we move on. The title of a gift to this poem, it says, we must become in the image like Yahweh. And I will say to you, sons and daughters of Yahweh, to you I give power to create, to sustain and to maintain all life form in which my hands have made. Upon the earth and throughout my forever expanding universe, this first assignment I have for you, surely this task I want to see you do, to create my perfect righteous character on the inside of you. You must learn to protect and maintain all of its daily use. Then everyone will see you, everyone will see me, Yahweh, shining brightly through you. When I see you accomplish this task, then I know it's time to place my universe within your hands. Use your tests and trials, for I have set them in front of you. Use them to your best ability. They are my tools and instrument given you to help you achieve your greatest success, for this is my ultimate goal and purpose for making you. And with this, I turn back over to the next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. It is an honor and a privilege to stand before the great saints of the house of Yahweh. Please be seated. My title is, Then Yahweh Said to Satan, Have you considered my servants, the house of Yahweh, the Philadelphia group? Please consider that. Yahweh never promised us the great life right now. He is testing us to see what we will do under the most difficult situations. Yahweh never said, come to my house. It's going to be a cakewalk. You will have a huge house, a two-car garage filled with really nice cars. Did he say that, house of Yahweh? No, he didn't. However, let's see how Moshe said it. Please turn to Exodus 20:20, page found on page 61 of the Book of Yahweh. Moshe said to the people, Do not fear, for Yahweh has come to test and prove you so that the reverence of Yahweh will be with you, so that you do not commit sin. Could you please play my sound clip?
I can promise you one thing, if this will make you feel better, it will get worse. Does that make you feel better? You will be tested more severely than you are right now.
Well, that is how the Oaky Man has said it to us in these last days. And do you feel any better, House of Yahweh? Praise Yahweh. We are all unique individuals. Yahweh has our tests and trials specifically designed for each and every one of us. He knows what we need so that we can qualify and be given the positions that he desires for us to have. He wants us to be, we are his special treasures. He tells us this. He sees it like it already is. That's how we need to see it. He says we are a peculiar people. He says that we are a holy nation, and he is going to make sure that we will keep his laws in every situation, no matter how difficult it may seem to be, that we always put our full trust in him. Every moment of the day, every breath we take, we're going to trust Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. The Seventh Era House of Yahweh Philadelphia Group, also called the Great Nuclear Age, has to be tested more severely than any era before us, because Yahweh is offering us, the highest positions in the entire universe, House of Yahweh. He tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that he will never give us more than we can bear ever, and he will always provide a way for our escape. Remember, nothing is permanent in this wicked world, not even our troubles. However, Yahweh's laws are forever, and if it's not forever, House of Yahweh, praise Yahweh. In 1 Kefa 4:12 through 13 on page 960. Beloved House of Yahweh members in Philadelphia Group, do not be amazed concerning the fiery trial which you must undergo in order to be tested, as though some alien thing were befalling you. But rejoice in the fact that you are partakers of the Messiah's sufferings, and that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. In Jacob 1 verse 2, my brothers and sisters, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations and trials, knowing that the testing of your faith develops endurance. And let endurance have its perfect work, that you may become perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Our names are written in the book of life right now. Right now. Let's make sure that they remain there forever. There are some promises to the house of Yahweh for the seven eras to those who endure to the end. By Yahshua, Messiah, our high priest and king. To those who overcome, he will give to us to eat from the tree of life. We will receive a white stone of acquittal. We will be clothed in white raiment, and he will not blot out our names from the book of life. Yahweh is the potter. We were the clay. He's shaping and molding us to be made in his image and in his likeness, so we can qualify to have rulership over the creeping things that creep. Genesis 1:26. That's the plan for mankind by great father Yahweh. Now, being shaped and molded doesn't always feel so great, does it? It hurts really bad sometimes, really bad. But it's necessary for our perfection. Necessary and vital. Revelation 21:14, Yahweh gives us an out. He promises that he will wipe away all tears from our eyes. No more pain. The former suffering and things will be gone and passed away. Yahweh has provided to us the 613 laws after they have been done away with by the Catholic Church, that divining serpent, for the last 2,000 years, and given us it back through Yisrael Hawkins, a last day's anointed witness. That prophet that Moshe spoke of in Deuteronomy 18:18, that he did raise up from our brothers. And him we will listen to. Our treasures are Yahweh's laws and prophets. For moth nor rust can consume them. Thieves cannot break in and steal them. Our treasure is where our heart is, and that is Pastor Yisrael Hawkins, our teacher, our leader, our comforter, our gift from Yahweh, our forerunner that has been through the test that we can't even fathom, but he's our righteous example. Today, we are blessed to have him. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him, right? Put on your concrete boots, House of Yahweh, your crash helmet, seat belts, knee pads, elbow pads, and hold on like bulldogs. Because let no man take your crown. We will stand in our place, and we will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. Yahshua is knocking at the door. Do you hear him? Yes. Praise Yahweh! He tells us in Revelation 21:14, blessed are those who keep his laws and go through the severe tests and trials necessary for the perfection of our faith. We will have right to the tree of life and enter in through the gates into the city, because the resurrection and the sea of glass, they're like right around the corner. My last scripture, I promise, in Matithia 5:11-12 on page 731. Blessed are you, House of Yahweh, when men will revile and persecute you and say all manner against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, rejoice, and be exceedingly glad, for a great test will be your reward in heaven, for in the same manner they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Let's break down that word greatest. Before we receive the greatest rewards, we've got to go through some great tests. Great tests! Leaving on this note, we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. Let our light so shine before all mankind so they will see the hope that lies within us. Praise Yahweh! And may our tests become our testimony, House of Yahweh, because our next assignment after the 2 billion is the universe. Thank you, House of Yahweh. Yahweh bless you. And I turn it over to the next great speaker. Praise Yahweh.
Saints of Yahweh, you may all be seated. Praise Yahweh. So it's all about our tests and trials today. So think about it. When you've had a bad day, maybe it turns into what you feel like a bad week, maybe even a bad month. When these tests and trials, when they feel like they've gotten the best of you, what keeps us pushing on? What keeps us going? Well, for me, it's our hope. It's our hope. That's what keeps us going. But our hope is in what? Our hope is in our great Father Yahweh. Psalm 39, verse 7. And now, Yahweh, what do we wait and hope for? Our hope is in you. Hope, it's a feeling that what can be wanted can be attained. Something that we look forward to, something we desire. Yes, our hope is in Yahweh. And Yahweh has given us the scriptures so that we can go back and read them and see and be reassured that our hope is sure. Now, hope is something that many people have throughout the world. Many people hope in something, yet what their hope or what they're looking for, it's in all the wrong places. They're always hoping for what? Maybe the latest cure, leaders that they can trust in, or maybe it's just someone that's going to bring peace. Ephesians 2, verse 12, it says, remember that at that time you were without Messiah, being aliens outside the citizenship of Israel, strangers to the covenant, based upon promises, having no hope. So out in the world, there is no hope, because it says, and without Yahweh in the world, without Yahweh, there is no hope. So, don't spend our time looking for hope in the world, because it's not there. Our hope is in Yahweh. It's in his great plan for us. Our hope is in is in this worldly government's passing away and Yahweh's kingdom being set up. That is our hope. A world where there's only peace, joy, and abundant living. A world free of pain, sorrow, suffering. A world where only righteousness dwells. Yes, that's our hope. That is our hope. And yes, it can be our future. But first we have to qualify for it. The only way we can do that is if we go through tests and trials. That's the only way Yahweh's going to know that we will only choose righteousness. Now, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to tell you it's easy. It hasn't been easy. It's not going to get any easier. An example of that was our Apostle Shaul in 2 Corinthians 1:8. He pretty much laid it out for us. He said, "For we do not want you to be ignorant about this, brothers and sisters, of our trouble which came upon us, how we were so exceedingly pressured beyond our strength that we despaired even of survival." But look up back to verse 7. It says, "And our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that just as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also will you be partakers of the consolation." Yes, the struggles, they are real. Yes, we must be tested and tried. But remember, the struggle, it's not between me and you. It's not between you and you. No, the struggle is an internal thing. We all have to overcome. Our tests and trials, they're uniquely ours. They are tough. Yes, we feel pain. We feel sorrow. We feel discouraged. But it's in those moments that we can't forget our hope. It's in those moments that we can't forget who we are. Remember, I am the house of Yahweh. Yes, I am the house of Yahweh. So are you, and you, and you. And to all of you watching, you are the house of Yahweh. We are the house of Yahweh. Hebrews 3:6, it says that the Messiah is a son over Yahweh's own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence, rejoicing of the hope, firm until the end. Yes, we have to endure until the end. We have to remind ourselves over and over. We need these reminders. We need these signs all over. We need this. Because if we don't, it's way too easy to get into this why me mentality. Why? Why is this so hard? Why do I have to go through this over and over and over? Why me? Why me? Well, on May 21st of this year, our great overseer, he was talking to us, and he was talking to us about us representing ourselves when we go out into the world. And this is what he said. He said, "Show the world. This is why I'm the house of Yahweh. This is why I'm a member." So it hit me because I'm like, yes, I am the house of Yahweh. We are the house of Yahweh. But we need to remind ourselves why we are the house of Yahweh. This is the one and only place established according to prophecy. This is the one and only place that gives honor to our Heavenly Father Yahweh and our great high priest Yeshua Messiah. Yes, praise Yahweh. This is the one and only place where the truth is being taught to us from the Holy Scriptures, the book of Yahweh. This is the one and only place that the message is being taught throughout the world by the last remaining witness, our great overseer, Pastor Yisrael Abel Hawkins, who has fulfilled many prophecies about himself, and he will continue to fulfill them. This is the one and only place where the Sabbaths, the new moons, and the feast days are being kept properly. This is the one and only place that has hope. Yes, this world, it's dying, it's fading away, but Yahweh's kingdom, it's rising. Romans 5, 2-5, it says, "Through whom we have gained access by the faith into this unmerited pardon in which we now stand, and let us rejoice in the hope of the glory of Yahweh. And not only so, but let us also rejoice in our tribulations, because we know that tribulation produces patience. and patience, maturity of character, and character, hope. And hope, it does not disappoint us, because Yahweh has poured out his love into our minds by Spirit Holy that he has given us. Don't let the tests and trials get you down. Ask yourself, remind yourself why you are the house of Yahweh. Our hope has been in Yahweh. It's always been in Yahweh. That's all we have. But sisters, that's all we will ever need. May Yahweh bless each and every one of you. Please stand for the next speaker.
Shalom, sisters. You may be seated. If I was to stand here today and make the statement, human nature can be flawed, what would you think? Human nature can be flawed. What would you think? Would you agree with me or disagree? Would you think, oh no, she can be talking to me? Or would you think, do I need to listen to this? I know no one wants to hear that they might be flawed, because in my mind, when I hear the word flawed, I'm thinking defective. I'm defective somehow. But human nature refers to our characteristics or our behavioral traits. Recently, I had to work with someone else to deal with an issue. An upset person. The person ordered a book, and they emailed over and over again concerning the book. She was worried about it, and I could understand that. But my patience was wearing thin. I had this much remaining. That was the last one. She emailed one more time. Anyhow, I blame this whole situation on Amazon. Okay? Amazon. I said Amazon. I blame them. I refer to it as the Amazon effect, or AE for short. Amazon spoiled us badly. Right? When we order from Amazon, they send us a confirmation order. Then they send us a delivery order number email. Then they send us a survey 2 weeks later to rate the product. To make matters worse, if you order before 3 p.m. on the day, it will ship out the same day, and they must email you and tell you that. How could anybody live up to that expectations? How could we? Needless to say, they have spoiled us immensely. And we hold every other company to that level. Hence the name Amazon Effect, or AE for short. We as a nation has become impatient. Very impatient. We are obsessed with all things instant. We want instant messaging. We want Instagram. We want instant peace with no work behind it. And we want, if we are sick, we want instant medication that will heal us miraculously overnight. Otherwise, we blame the doctors. On www.iflscience.com states that a study published by the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences claims being impatient can make you age faster. No woman wants to hear she aging faster. So don't be impatient. Also, an article on www.lifescience.com states being impatient can hurt your heart, causes stress. We done stress enough, we don't need no more. High blood pressure and anxiety. In Genesis 1:26, Yahweh says he will make man in his image, according to his likeness. Notice the word likeness. It refers to Yahweh's character and behavioral traits. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 34, verses 5 to 7. Here we see all Yahweh characteristics, but notice verse 6. Yahweh passed in front of him and proclaimed, "Yahweh, Yahweh, Almighty, merciful and compassionate, long-suffering and abounding in righteousness and truth." The word long-suffering refers to being patient. So clearly, Yahweh, whose name is I Am Who I Am and I Choose to Be Righteous, is a patient father. Patient. Consider, Yahweh's plan is a 6,000-year plan. That's a very long time. Yahweh could have chosen to have a shorter plan, but he chose 6,000 years. And he gave us free will to choose. In Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, found on page 173. And it says, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you this day. And I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses, because you are free agents to make your own choices between righteousness and evil." Listen to what Yahweh tells us what to choose. He said, "Choose life, sisters, so both you and your children may live." He could have chosen to make us into robots, everybody, where we do what we are told when we are told, but he did not. He wanted us to choose life of our own free will. Clearly, Yahweh, our Creator, is patient. If we, sisters, are to earnestly become like Yahweh, which we are told, in Yahweh's image and likeness, adopting his character, should we not be patient like him? Shouldn't we? Yes, we should. Being long-suffering and patient towards one another. The word patient, according to Google.com, means being able to accept delay or suffering without getting upset or angry. I said the word, without upset and angry at one another. I must confess, this word patient is not in my vocabulary. And I always had to blame somebody. I blame being a first child. I suffer from this complex, the first child complex. We want it now. When I say, how I say, the first child complex. And we are seldom wrong. No first child is wrong. We are quick to say, "Didn't I tell you that?" Or, "You never listen." First trend, isn't that true? Yes. Yes. At times, sisters, we lack patience with one another. If we think long and hard, you know it's true. We lack patience with one another. A few years ago, my daughter was around 6 years old. And I told the little girl to go and ask that worker to do so and so and so. She looked at me with squinted eyes and downcast eyebrows and look and tell me, "Oh no, mother, she is complicated. She makes mountains out of a molehill." The whole office went silent. I was embarrassed. I turned red. If I could have turned red, I would have turned red. But I was embarrassed. But who can I blame besides myself? She heard me say it 10,000 times over and over again. I programmed her to think like that. My fault. I accept my blame. First child, I accept my blame. And you know, children's voices are not soft. They proclaim it to the whole world. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, found on page 918. Everybody got it? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 3, found on page 918. Therefore, the prisoner of Yahweh plead with you that you walk worthy of the call which you were called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, patient, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring with the utmost diligence and zeal to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Another phrase I have either used, is remember when Sister ABC did XYZ to me. Oh, how she have wronged me. Why must we dredge up things from the past? If it occurred in the past, leave it in the past, sisters. We don't need to hear the story for the 100th time. No need to bring it up again and again. So let it go and do not let the root of bitterness grow within us. Let it go. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. Turn there with me, please. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 10. And it says, love without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is righteous. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, showing deference, respect, honor to one another, showing honor to one another. Remember, sisters, Proverbs says, a just man will fall how many times? 7 times. But you know what? He will get up, dust off his knees and hands, and trek on. What I have started to practice is this, a gift. I am choosing to look at my sisters as a gift, not a complication, not a problem. We are called by Yahweh, and He gifted each one of us with each other. Some sisters we have lost along the way. But we need to cherish the ones who chose to stay and not give up. Be patient towards one another. No more raised voices, no more sarcasm, no more rolling of the eyes, grudges, snapping, and short temper. Galatians 6, verse 9. And it reads, and let us not grow weary of doing righteousness, for in due time we will reap. If we do not faint, we will endure till the end. Sisters, if it is one thing I want you to take away from this speech, it's human nature can and is flawed. Because of carnality, the breaking of Yahweh's laws, and not adopting His characteristics. We must become in Yahweh's image and convert to His characters. I would like to close my presentation by reminding you about the gift. Every time you see a sister, hear a sister, or talk to a sister, think of her as a gift. She is a blessing, valuable to our family. And work, treat her as you would want to be treated. She is precious to us. Let us rejoice in our tribulations and trials. Because tribulation produces patience, and patience, maturity of character, and character, hope. I would like to present to you our next speaker, a great head judge who has been in the house of Yahweh for eons. Praise Yahweh.
Shalom. I want to remind you that all of our speakers that you see speaking along with the judges today were found in our House of Yahweh New World Training Center speech classes, and there are openings for you today. You may be seated. So the title of my speech today is, "This is a test. This is only a test." Now, I might be dating myself, but I remember when I was a young girl, like really long time ago, there used to be a little thing that would come on the TV and it would be like, beep. Does anyone remember that might be older than 30, 40, 50? Anyway, you would see it coming across the test and it would be, "This station is conducting a test. This is not an actual emergency." And then it, like that. Well, our life right now, this is only a test. So that's what I want to keep in your mind as we go through this. This is only a test. I want to tell you a little personal story. I used to love the rain as a little girl. We always had a screened-in porch growing up, and I used to love sitting outside and watching the rain and the lightning and the thunder. I didn't like being in it, but I liked being on the screened-in porch watching it. Then, you know, recently I had some leaks in my dwelling. And the rain turned into quite a test and a trial for me. And I would see the clouds rolling and I'd be, "Cursed be that cloud coming that's going to roll the water down my walls and put black streaks down my paint in my living room." And I would look and I'd be, "Cursed be that rain." And I would get the buckets out. I had garbage cans, and I got real creative. Food storage buckets and garbage cans, and you know, anything that would catch the water was there to catch that test, that rain, and it would just always come. And I would grumble about the rain. I would sit on my porch, and I see you. You're in my living room, and you're dripping down my walls, and you know, I could decorate my house so pretty if it wasn't for you, rain. Well, I got quite bitter about the rain. I was bitter about the rain. That was my test. That was my trial. And then one day somebody said, "Why don't you put in a work order?" And I thought, well, I mean, maybe it wouldn't get approved and it might be expensive. I started making excuses. Maybe I like to hold on to that rain because it gave me something to complain about. A little bit, right? But then I sat back and I said, "But I really want to paint that wall. I really want to be able to have a place to come home to after a really rough day of tests and trials, and not see the rain streaking down my wall. I'd like to use my garbage can and food storage things for what they were intended to be used for: garbage and food storage." So I put in the work order, and the work order got done. And I have to tell you, now when I see the clouds coming, I smile. I smile because I actually had an opportunity to take that test, that trial, and I was able to do something about it. I was blaming the rain as if the microbes had anything to do with it. But I had the power within me to put in a work order and do something about it. I had the ability to change the way that I looked at this rain. Do you see that you can maybe put take the rain out of the situation and put that sister, that gift, or that situation, maybe it isn't rain for you. I want you to remember that because it's very important. Now I sit on my porch again and I delight in the rain. And if we weren't here speaking when it started raining today, you would find me on my porch watching the rain with a smile on my face, okay? So remember that because that's our tests and trials. And I'm not going to go over again Exodus 20:20 because we read that already. And 1 Kefa 4, where it talks about not being amazed at our fiery trials. But I want to remind you of that 1 Kefa 4 because Yahweh says the fiery trial which you must undergo. So it's not really like an option. Yahweh's not like, well, anyone who'd like to sign up for tests and trials, please come here to aisle 3. And then, you know, we're all like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going to go for some of those tests and trials. No, I think I'll stay over here. I don't really care for any. No, Yahweh says you must undergo. You know, in your book of Yahweh, you really should underline that trial which you must undergo. Because the words that follow are quite amazing. It says, in order to be tested, as so some alien thing were befalling you. When we already know from Exodus 20:20 that Yahweh said that he called us out and he said, look, I'm sending these tests because I have to prove you for something very, very special, House of Yahweh. In the seventh book of Israel, our overseer says it best. This is a sermon. This is the seventh book of Israel, part 2, chapter 20. And it was given on 10-20 of 07. So this is right around the time that the great Kahan Yedidiah got arrested and right before a pastor got arrested. And I just love what he says here. In verse 189, he says, Satan, brethren, has experience, great experience, over millions of years of pulling people out of Yahweh's house. She is full of deception of all kinds, and Yahshua said the deception is going to be so great. Now, did we believe that when he said that in 2007? Did you not put your life in this when you heard this word? It's going to be so great, you know. Even the very elect, if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. This is how much pressure they're going to put on you. In verse 190, overseer says, what for? Now, this is the part that I really want you to hear because this is the great part. This is the sitting on the porch actually liking the rain, okay? Verse 190, what for? To see if you are capable of taking these jobs of ruling the universe, where great pressure, greater than this, will be put on you. You think cleaning up this universe is going to be an easy thing? Just think of the opposition now. You know, I want you to think about the gift or the sister or the situation that you deal with right now that you're having a hard time with. And I want you to think about what you're going to think one day very soon when you find out that that sister or that brother or that person was doing exactly what they were told to do by the overseer to qualify for their position. Even though it might have rubbed you the wrong way, how will you feel? Because when it's us and we are wanting to stand in our place and do exactly what the overseer or our supervisor or someone in authority over us tells us what to do, we are adamant and we want everyone to understand that we are doing what we were told to do and we are standing in our place. But it gets a little bit more difficult when it's raining on your head. You know, I've seen the overseer. He knows exactly how to train us. He is the greatest man on the face of this earth right now. And, you know, there's been times where he said, Tana, I've got this really important thing I need you to do. I need you to call these companies and find out where we can get blah, blah, blah for the cheapest price. Can you get on that and get on that right now? And I'll be like, oh, the overseer has a job for me. And I get the phone book out and I start calling all these places. And then a little while later, somebody will come in and they'll be going, they'll hear me on the phone and they'll be like, oh, the overseer has you calling too? And I'm just like, well, I thought I was special. And the carnal mind wanted me to close the phone book and just say, well, he's got her doing it. You know, why should I do it? I mean, we don't need to both be calling. That's a waste of time. But you got to keep calling, don't you? Because you were instructed to make those calls. And you might find a place that's just a little bit cheaper. Or maybe she, because it might not be you, right? But you both stand in your place and you both do what you're told and you both qualify for the greatest job on the face of this earth. Because it's not about whether or not you're calling phone numbers in a phone book. It's about something far greater than the here and the now, right? So he continues here and he says, now there's no way out because mankind was made for this purpose. There's no other people going to be alive except for the house of Yahweh, those who prove fit for this kingdom. Otherwise, your life's going to be over. The only way that you can hold fast to this is to endure. And that means, you know, you have to stay in your place. And there's going to be opposition. There's going to be tests and trials. There's going to be things that occur that make you want to leave your place. But remember, Yahweh is judging us in every situation to see. He wants us so badly. He's like, oh, she's getting upset. Oh, please don't leave work. Don't leave work. Oh, no, don't leave work. Oh, come back. Come back to work. Okay, we'll come back tomorrow to work and apologize and get that. That's what he wants us to do. Because it's like Yahweh is a businessman. And if he's going to turn this business over to this great family of Yahweh, he has to know, like, he's going to make sure that when we're put under certain circumstances, like when he leaves the building, that we're going to do what he says. And he's going to purposely send opposition and to try to get you. Do you remember the man of Yahweh from Yada? And he said, look, man, don't eat or drink anything while you're in this place. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, I can do it. I can do it. I can call these numbers in the phone book. Yeah. And then somebody comes along and they're like, oh, I'm also a prophet. Come eat and drink with me. And the guy's like, you're a prophet too? Okay. And he lost his life. Does anyone remember what occurred to the guy? You know, it wasn't a pretty end. So we have to stand in our place. Our adversary, she walks around like a roaring lion. You know, she's seeking whom she may devour. And it may look a particular way to you, but I'm telling you what, the people that are in the work of Yahweh are always and constantly criticized by those who won't put a day's work in it. And you know, that has always been, I've been here 28 years, and the worst critics are the ones that won't set a day's work into Yahweh's great house. But they stand on the sidelines going, did she do that again? Did you see that? I wonder why she did that. He's got her calling and her calling. Why would he do that? Do you see my point? Get in there and grab a phone book and start dialing numbers and try to find the cheapest place where you can get seed in Abilene, right? That's what we need to do. It says, count it all joy, Jacob 1:2-4 says, when you fall into various temptations and trials, knowing that the testing of your faith develops endurance. So it's developing something in us. And in the 9th book of Israel, pastor says it again, the best, I can't even say it near as great as him, chapter 26, verses 15-18, pastor says, I've seen people come here, and they were so gung-ho, wanting to do everything to help people. And then they started helping them. You know, they did real great at first, but then the people started depending on them and calling them day and night. And then they're like, man, this is too much to bear. And pastor was laughing when he gave the sermon. I'm overwhelmed with all these calls. Try to be pastor for like a day. Try to just be the one that gets the overspill of his calls sometimes. You know, I'm on a call trying to take a message and the phone's beeping. I can't even get the person's name because someone else is beeping in because it spilled over from another phone call that he had. And I can tell you that he probably gets them every 30 seconds. So they say, I'm overwhelmed. So they grow weary of well-doing. They forget the reason that they came here to begin with. He was telling us how his brother-in-law, who was a free will Baptist preacher, and he said he quit preaching because they wanted him to be a taxi driver, a delivery man, a babysitter. So finally, he just quit the church and started refurnishing furniture. Guess what? Pastor's been a taxi driver. He's been everything to us. And those of us that work with pastor and have been trained by pastor, we don't grow weary of the phone calls. We can't always get them all, but we're still taxi drivers and we're still answering the calls. But we need help. So instead of being on the sidelines, we have to learn to get in there. See what you can do in this great work of Yahweh. Get involved. Because Proverbs 24:10 says, if you falter in the day of adversity, which is your testings and your trials, your strength is very low. You're a very weak person. So get back in. Come back. Get back into this great work of Yahweh. Let's continue with Pastor's words here. It says, "Well, for that it's worth it, brethren, to be a slave, to be a servant to your people, to your brothers, to your sisters, the great gifts. Don't grow weary of it, not for money, not for money, not for money, not for gain." Right? "But for the sake of your brother or sister, for the earnest expectation of creation waits for the revealing of this great family." This creation is waiting for us. All these microbes that I used to be all mad at, they're waiting for us. That's us, me and you. Man, I know we have character flaws. I won't even sit here and start naming. We could go alphabetical. But we all have character flaws. We're trying desperately to overcome them. But the point is, look around right now, House of Yahweh, at the gifts sitting in this place right here, right now. Because like the great judge just said, you know, think about the people that are still here. Don't dwell on the people that are gone. Think about those who are still toiling and striving and working day after day. These are the ones, sisters, that we need to be making peace with. These are the ones right here. And I'm going to close with the second book of Israel, chapter 31, verse 140. And Pastor says, "Wow, what a joyous day when you hear that voice saying, 'You have made it.' It will sure be worth it then. All the sweat, the tears, embarrassing situations, which we've had many, and penny pinching." Penny pinching! Have you ever tried to pinch a penny? Will be worth it trying to get this word out and serve others. May Yahweh bless you. And at this time, I would like to bring up our next speaker.
Shabbat shalom, everyone. You may all be seated. And as always, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you, not just today, but forever. The title today that I have is 1, 2, 3, 4, Make It More. That's as far as I can rhyme, tell the truth. But keep in mind that title, please. And let's turn to Matthew chapter 25. Sure, you have an idea. But I hope I can inspire you the next time you read this scripture, how you should read it the next time. Okay? Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 28. This is speaking about the talents. The parable of the talents, on page 753. Matthew 25, verses 14, when we read through verse 28, says, "For the kingdom of Yahweh will be like a man going on a journey into a far country who summoned his own servants and handed his possession over to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and another, and 1, to each according to his ability, and immediately went on his journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made with them 5 more talents. He who had received 2 did the same. He gained 2 more. Verse 18, he who received 1 went and dug in the earth and hid his ruler's money. After a long time, the ruler of those servants came and settled accounts with them." Let's go ahead and jump down to verse 24. Let's see what occurred, right? Because we know that when he came to account, he realized, wow, okay, you know, I gave you 5, you gave me back even more than that. And then look at verse 24. "Then he who had received the 1 talent came forward and said, 'Ruler, I knew you would be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathered where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the earth.' See, you have what belongs to you. His ruler answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have lent my money to the exchanger, and at least at my coming I would have received my own with interest.' Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. And the reason why I decided to read this to you, because I went through a situation, and I never thought that this would be told to me, but I went through a situation that was extremely stressful. It seemed like it occurred, yes, like our speaker said, why all the time? Because every year it was occurring all the time. And so I'm like, okay, I thought I was over this. Well, you're not over it. Because it seems like when I got this assignment, like I always do, and then all of a sudden things occur. On the actual moment when it has to be completed, things occur. It's like, oh no, you know, so-and-so left. Oh, okay, well, so-and-so can't do it. You know, it's like, okay, well, my hands are tied. Well, guess what? We don't have that supply for you. And I'm like, what? So everything that I vowed myself I would get done, I couldn't get done. And I got so frustrated. And yes, I eventually got it done because, yes, over the years, I have learned to procrastinate really great. And I learned to get it done. But after it got done, all I was doing was complaining and blaming and yelling and it's just like, and the person who assigned me shut me off completely and told me, do you remember about the parable of the talent? And all of a sudden it went, doing. That's true. They told me, the one who assigned me this, said, I am not worried about what others did to you. I am worried about what you did. What you did in this situation. Yes, you know, I gave you 5 talents and you gave me back the 5 more and all that stuff. But what else occurred? What else did you do, you do there that may have affected other things that you probably lost your talent, even though you thought you gained 5? So can you please show me my slide? Because it really sums it up. You are confined only by the walls you build yourself. Is that a true statement? Yes, it is. It is. You are the one to set your own limit. How far can you go in the tests and trials? Yes, you completed the assignment. But because of your attitude, because of your perspective of things, and your complaint after, it showed you that you couldn't handle it, right? You couldn't. You just couldn't. I mean, you broke apart. You just fell apart. You showed that. And when that occurs, and you're put in a situation to do a job, to finish an assignment that would benefit Yahweh's people, and you show that you can't handle it, is it just your supervisor who saw it? Is it just your mom who saw it because she knows you? Is it just you who saw it? No. It's the family of Yahweh that saw that. And they're crushed. You show that you can only go so far. And you've proven that you can only handle so much. And during those times when you fail your tests, do you know what else you lost? You lost friends. You lost sisters. But most of all, you lost Yahweh's trust that he could depend on you to get this job done. Do you see the seriousness of this? Whether the test is small or large, it doesn't matter. What have you proven to Yahweh? How much talents did you gain back? Through your actions, through your words. But let's look on the side that you have overcome it. You could handle the test. When everything has fallen apart on you, you held together and you got the assignment done. And you did it with a positive attitude. You did it by speaking to your fellow sisters who are helping you in this. Speaking to them kindly, guiding them and leading them, showing your consideration, your understanding. When you accomplish a job, yet accomplishing the character of Yahweh in doing this job, what did you gain? You proved to Yahweh that, Yahweh, you could give me anything and it's a piece of cake. Because I love my sisters. And you know why it's a piece of cake? Because my sisters love me and they helped me get this all together. I didn't do it myself. Right? You consider them and you gain them as friends. You gain them as a true sister. They trust you. They believe in you. They depend on you. But you know what? It goes the other way around too. Because you can depend on them and you can trust them. Because they know that you would never do them wrong. But when you are taking your stress well, you're taking your tests well, you know what else occurs? You become a problem solver. You really do. Because you're quick. You're on your feet. You're not going to mope about, oh my word, I told them I needed 20 scissors and they only provided 4. What am I going to do? Well, you know what? There's this thing called folding, creasing, and just rip. Yes. You see? Problem solver. Because you got to get it done. But when you're clouded with anger and emotion, you forget. Like, okay, my job is to get this done. And how am I going to get there? You can't. Because you're emotional. So have that positive attitude. In Matithia chapter 25, let's go back to chapter 25, verse 20 and verse 23. If you skim it quickly, what did the ruler say to the servants? Constantly, every servant, he said, you have been faithful over a few things. I will make you rulers over many things. Many things. What is this many things when we think about ourselves, if this is a parable to Yahweh's kingdom? I want to remind you, and we've been reminded all day, that we will be working with the sons and daughters, the beings of Yahweh. Yahweh's very own sons and daughters. We're going to be working with them. And how would we react when we are given an assignment by Yahweh to interact with them? Because remember, some of them had turned from Yahweh. And Yahweh is trying to show their consequences. We got to clean it up. So right now, this is very few. The little tests and trials we go through is very few. Sometimes we feel like someone's coming against us, or someone's not listening to us, or things like this. But wait until we see Yahweh's sons and daughters, the beings, who have greater power that can move your planet 1 inch if Yahweh allowed. And how would you react? How would you react? Still maintaining that we are going to be the representative of Yahweh. Remember that the universe has no limitation. And we know that because when we read about Job, his writings, he talks about the beauty of Yahweh's creation. It's endless. Therefore, we cannot see the limitation within ourselves. I can only handle this much, Yahweh. Once you stick that person in there, that's it. I cannot do this. Why is your limitation? Why are you putting a limitation on yourself? Because remember, Yahweh's universe is endless. The assignments are endless. So whether you are given 1 talent, 2 talents, 3 talents, or 4 talents, make it more. Always keep that in mind when you read this parable. And with that, if you all please stand. For more, I would like to introduce to us our next speaker.
Shabbat Shalom, great saints of Yahweh. Please be seated. Well, I brought my shield today. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you, and also those who are listening to us. And also, may great Father Yahweh give us those Sabbath blessings that we truly need. Test and trials. So can you get Ephesians chapter 6, please? And let's stay right there, Ephesians 6, and we're going to look at verses 12 and 13. As you're doing that, I can try the shield on. It doesn't matter. Why don't I get back to it later? So, Ephesians 6, 12 says, let's go. Tests and trials we will need, for we wrestle not only against flesh and blood. Not only your sister, a lot of it sometimes is from inside ourselves. For we wrestle not only against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual forces of the evil one in the heavens. Can you see the spiritual forces of the evil one in the heavens? No, that's like Jacob fighting with the angels and he cannot see the angels. It's not about that. Tests and trials that get us to the point where sometimes we feel there's something on our backs. Is that true, sisters? That's why I brought my sword. If you look through Ephesians 6, 17, 16, 17, the sword stands for something. The word. Is that true? Very nice. So here's what they told me. They said to me, you know what? I have a very busy schedule. I'm going to try to say all my prayers first thing in the morning so I don't have to stop during the rest of the day to pray. I got the prayers covered. Do you understand? So I said, oh my. Next day when I saw them, I said, how did it work? Great. Oh, I'm going to try tomorrow. So tomorrow, I am going to do my three prayers first thing in the morning. Great Father, continuing prayers to you. And Great Father, in conclusion, prayers done for the day. I am ready to go. I am ready to go to my spiritual warfare. Do you understand? It's a spiritual warfare. The tests and trials are not easy sometimes. They are not easy. Sometimes we can't wake in the morning because of the intensity of those tests and trials. Do you understand, sisters? So I have said my three prayers. I have my Ephesians 6, 12 says, put on your armor of Yahweh that you will be able to withstand. And this is how I look. Let me see if you can see me somehow. This is how I look after my three prayers. This is me. I am ready for the spiritual warfare. Do you understand, Great House of Yahweh? You sure? Very nice. Very nice. So, I'm on my way to work. It's a spiritual warfare, Great Saints of Yahweh. It's not a game. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. What we've been conditioned to think, we are proud. And nobody can tell us anything. So, on my way to work, a PA calls me. A PA or receptionist. She said, just to remind you, ma'am, the announcement said you have to drive 10 miles an hour. I said, oh, but I was running to work and she said, well, I just want to remind you. I said, well great Gohana, how do you know I was going past 10 miles an hour? She said, well, I was driving right behind you and I was at 10 miles an hour, but you were at a steady, speedy rate in front of me going faster. So you had to be more than 10 miles an hour. I took my sword. Not to hurt. The sword is the word. Do you understand? I took my sword. They spread it for me green. I said, oh dear. Milliseconds to think now. You don't have 10 minutes to think. What are you going to do? Self-control. No time. Milliseconds. She just insulted me. Do not insult the sister.
But she said, I said, Great Kohana, you know what? I said, Jacob 3:9, for the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil. I said, you know what, sister? Why don't you have them check your speedometer? And while you're checking your speedometer, have them check your mind. Did I tell the sister that? I have to confess tonight before the sun sets. So, anyway, I'm going on to work. I'm going to the cafeteria to volunteer today. So when I get to the cafeteria, you know, sometimes it's like they are in strategic places waiting for you. The tests and the trials, it's not easy. I know what I'm talking about. So the great Kohana said to me, you know what, we've always told you, you need to put the garbage bags nicely in the garbage bins for if there's a spill. I said, but great Kohana, I always do it. Remember, great Kohana, in the world, I was a qualified nursing assistant. I know how to dress garbage bins. So she said to me, well, I need my shield. She said to me, I'm taking my shield now. She said to me, well, and you know those eyes sometimes? She said to me, the shield is to protect us from the fiery darts of the adversary, true or false? But you can feel when it's coming. She said, well, I guess the qualifications did not work, so you'll have to dress the garbage bins over. You see, that's why I put the overseer on it. Did you see that? So, I said, you know what, great Kohana, milliseconds to think it. Okay, Jacob 3:9, Father, the tongue is an unruly fire. It's filled with deadly poison. It's poisonous. Okay, what else? Okay, Genesis, sword. Genesis, the sword, the word. Okay, Genesis 4:9. Genesis 4:7 says what? Oh, sin is crouching at my door, but I must overcome it. I must overcome. Great Kohana, you know what? That's why you could never become a head judge in Yahweh's house. So, I say, did I say that? So, we have to confess tonight. You have to take that phone and do your confessions tonight. I say, no, I can't do it today. I'm going home. Saints of Yahweh, do you see it's a struggle? You've never been through none of these? Only me? Only me. So I said, that's it. The day is over. I can't go anymore. I will call General Store. I'll get my honey and my ice cream, and I'll go home. It's ridiculous. So, the great Kohana there told me, yes, ma'am, it will be ready for you. So, I ran there to the General Store. Great Kohana, I came for the honey. I came for my ice cream and my butter. She said, I'll be right with you. Nice. And do you notice it always starts nicely until the test is there waiting and you don't see it, as the great deaconess said. It takes you to the back. You don't see it coming. And it's not swords anymore. They're cluster bombs. You have not experienced it? So, for we wrestle not only against flesh and blood. Put on the armor of Yahweh that you will be able to withstand. Are we not in the last days, in the evil days? Yes, it's nuclear bombs now. It's not the sword and the thing anymore. So I get to the general store and the great Kohana is running. I said, I came for the butter and the ice cream. It's a hot day, 100 degrees. So she said, I'll be right with you. I said, 15 minutes. I'm there waiting. I saw she ran by. So I said, oh, great Kohana, my She came and she said to me, I'm the only one here. I am doing the best I can. Milliseconds. Genesis, do you see it? Genesis 4:7. But I must overcome it. I'm going to do this, Father. I am going to try not to insult, humiliate my sisters. Do you understand? I'm trying. I'm counting. The self-control, 10, 9, too slow. Let's go. Fast. Think. Great Kohana, it's not me who lost my brother. It's you who lost my brother. You know what? That's just ridiculous. I'm calling the pastor. So she said to me, you know, sometimes they talk really soft. Not your sister. It's a gift, as the great head judge said. You know, sometimes they say to you soft, really soft and nice. She said to me, well, if you so desire, you may. I said, I may, and I am going to call him. And you know what? When you get my melted butter and my ice cream, put it on your account. The day is over, and I need to get home now. I cannot do this anymore. And this is what I look like when the day is over. Askew. Do you understand it, Great House of Yahweh? I've tried to make it for us in a way. Thank you, dear. I've tried to make it for us in a way. It can be humorous, so we can laugh at it. But it hurts. Sometimes the tests and the trials are so hard. Our backs are heavy. We do not want to wake up tomorrow. We don't want to make a further step because it hurts. But I want us to know, Great House of Yahweh, that it's a mighty power we serve. Do you understand? Great Father Yahweh is a mighty power. Let me ask you in conclusion, does he see? Does Father hear? Does Father understand? Are you sure? So be strong and be brave and take your beating well. Do you understand me? Be strong and be brave and take your beating well, because it's a mighty power we serve. And at his feet, all knees will bow in his own time and in his own season. Do you understand me, Great House of Yahweh? And with this, I turn it over to the great priest of the house of Yahweh.